Hello, folks. Hello. Welcome to the Knights at the Brown Table podcast. I am your host, Shaq. Hold up. It's quiet again.
Do you hear crickets?
Check the corner. Is there anybody in the corner?
I can't tell.
You're right. Nobody's, we never can dark. See. I guess Snoop's not in the corner this week. Where the hell Snoop? Is Snoop?
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 Snoop? In the corner?
Hey, I'm Snoop in the corner.
You sound like Black Rocky. You sound blocky.
I am your host. I am your host, Shaq Scott, a.k.a. Poppy Paper Stacks, a.k.a. Mr. CYC, a.k.a. the youngest looking 20-year-old.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the
corner this week, Yeah.
Welcome back. This week is Terrence T-Rex, a.k.a. King MacArthur, a.k.a. the boy who pulled the word from the stone.
I still don't get that.
The boy who pulled the
don't
word?
Don't explain it. I want to be able to get it at some point.
Plymouth Rock didn't land.
Don't explain it.
But we...
Don't explain it. I'm going to get it at some point.
Why does Wale talk about Georgetown so much?
I feel bad for Wale.
I do too, because I feel like he should be a top... Like, he's in my top five,
not
but I feel like
that.
Every time... Oh, why?
Because he went on Twitter recently and
you know better than going on Twitter.
But he just was letting the world know how sad he is that he's missing out on $200,000 worth of performances. Ooh. Because of the coronavirus. And that hurt me.
I mean,
because artists like Wale, you know, they live off of performances. Like, his albums do well, but his singles do the best. But you don't make any money off that. That goes to the label. So
You're right.
He eating off of them.
See, I don't have $200,000 problems, so I don't know how to really process.
But you got $20 problems.
I do.
Which equated $200,000 problems. They do.
Here's the difference, right? Wale can sell assets.
Wale can sell ass. And
that's the point.
What?
That's the point I'm heading for. Wait, like, if Wale's life fell down today, he could sell assets. If my life fell down today, I would have to sell ass. So, you know, that's really, you know, I can feel bad for him because I think he's a great person.
You can relate. Really, you can smart. Feel bad. You can't relate. I get you.
Yeah, I can feel bad for him because that's crazy. You know, that's like a change of lifestyle. But my change of lifestyle, his change of lifestyle was he would live in an apartment, probably something like mine.
Yeah.
My change of lifestyle is that
I would have
to give up ass.
I'm homeless. I don't have a house.
Look at me. I'm not going to make any money out there.
Yeah. But welcome back, folks, to the Knights at the Brown Table podcast. We appreciate you guys for listening, as always, on Spotify, on Apple, on Podomatic, and on Anchor, the most important way to get access to this podcast, the easiest platform to get access to this podcast. We have all of our platforms on Anchor, so if you download the Anchor app, you will have access to us, the Knights at the Brown Table. And as always, shout out to Jaika Studios.
Yeah.
We quarantine, but we allowed to still open up the kingdom. The kingdom is still open. We are quarantined.
I mean, our kingdom straight.
Our kingdom straight over here, you know.
We got Jesus.
Sorry, Jesus.
But where the hell is Snoop, though?
I don't know.
That's a great question. Do you think he's actually quarantined?
I don't know if he's quarantined or
because for us, not to put too much of our business out there, but we are in Florida, and save your personal opinions about Florida for all the listeners out there.
Are you
there.
Trying to say that my brother is a Florida man right now?
No. He's not the Florida man. He's not the Florida man.
I thought you were trying to imply that he was being Florida man.
No, he's not here. No. I was just going to talk about how disorganized Florida is, how some counties are on lockdown. Some are like, nah, we straight. Some are like, yo, you can't go to Starbucks inside. Some are like, yo, we have an actual birthday party in Starbucks next week and you're all invited. So that's how like unorganized it is in Florida.
I don't understand because every time I open up the news or watch the news, they're like, go outside, but stay inside. But when you're next to somebody, make sure they're 6 feet away.
Hug your loved ones.
They're in a different room.
Hug your loved ones, but don't talk to them, actually.
Love your wife, but not your side chick. Like,
speaking
what
of that,
saying?
Since we are quarantining and practicing social distancing, if you were to get the coronavirus, if your wife were to get the coronavirus, would you still be around?
Yeah, because I'm gonna have to get some at some point.
Like the coronavirus, you have to get some or that.
I'm gonna risk getting the coronavirus
for some. See, I ain't mad
because I know me.
I ain't mad at that because Idris Elba got it and his wife obviously got it, and everybody's like, "Well, she should have."
You think Idris Elba's wife is going 10
exactly.
seconds without? You know what time it is.
Exactly.
You think I get? You know,
Tom Hanks and his wife probably got it simultaneously. The second he found out, she probably was like, all right, let's go. We need to go in the room.
I'm going to tell you why I know that I would get it if my wife got coronavirus. All right. Because ever since this has happened, right? Like mm-hmm. you said, like my work has stopped, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some carpentry has stopped. Some carpentry is still going on.
Carpet munching is still going on.
A lot of carpet munching is going on right now. Let me tell you. You ain't got to. Anywho, so what I'm saying to you is, because of that, you know, I'm at home.
Mm-hmm.
And jokingly, me and my wife, when I told her I wanted to be a carpenter, she was like, well, that's stupid because, you know, you've never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
But I support you.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. If you do anything at home, you have to do it shirtless.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm like, interesting, all right, whatever. Proposition. I ain't never going to do anything at home.
Yeah.
This is work.
Yeah.
So now that the coronavirus,
yep.
I'm taking down, and we're moving. I'm taking down a bunch of shelves.
Mm-hmm.
There were some things that were drilled in. I got a bunch of stupid shit. And I'm noticing that I have to do a lot of this shirtless.
Now, let me ask you, is this stuff specific to carpentry, or is it just like, you know, you got to do everything shirtless now? Like, you got to put ice in the ice machine shirtless.
Don't put.
You got to walk the dog shirtless.
Why are you doing that?
You got to go.
No, I can't go outside shirtless.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if you remember my Instagram used to have a couple shirtless pictures. If you look back.
They're not there no more.
Ain't no more.
Interesting. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, no, that's all I know. Them whole days are gone. But
I'm laughing, but my girl is the same way. She don't play
She's
that.
She's like, yeah, no, fuck that noise.
Yeah.
She's like, you ever walk? You know, I never thought I would hear leaving what? The house. You're gonna leave in those pants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Striking the chord. There's a lot of people that's relating to that.
I'm like, pants.
Myself included.
Right. Like,
you know, because for us, we don't buy pants, but every 10 years, and exactly. Underwear is like every decade.
You
I buy a new
she
pair
had
of underwear.
The god dang nerve. To throw away my drawers with a hole in them.
Now you got two pairs left.
Now I got like two pairs left.
I know you do. Yeah, because my girl picks at me all the time. Every time I wake up in the morning, she's like, I can see your balls. And so what?
Touch
so
one.
So what?
Lotion it. You know, I'll be ashy down there sometimes. I can't see like you can.
So what? I'm moving on.
Wait. I just want to say, because of this, I'm really afraid. Because I'm doing all these shirtless tasks. All
right.
You know, it's causing a lot of friction. And I'm really scared because I think she's trying to bag a quarantine baby on me. And I don't want a quarantine baby.
Oh, it's a lot of those about to happen.
Oh, you know how many quarantine babies is out there? All the
carpenters. As long as you don't name it after the virus, I'm cool.
Quarantina.
See, now that's a new spin on it. I've heard just flat out people being lazy corona. Like, that's not even creative. A COVID.
That's kind of a hard name.
COVID is a low key. That's an athlete.
Yeah, I was just about to
COVID
say,
COVID is an athlete.
COVID sounds like somebody who dunked.
That's
like,
an athlete.
Hard.
Yeah, that's
like,
an
LeBron,
athlete.
Like COVID, LeBron.
But he don't got a dad, though.
Who?
COVID.
Oh, no.
Got a dad. He definitely
nobody
got a
accepts
dad.
Him. COVID is like Mike Tyson. He just grew up alone and gangster.
I feel bad for Mike Tyson. Have you heard him lately?
He has
nothing to fulfill that itch of fighting anymore.
Yeah, because that's the, you know what? Our last episode probably would have helped him. Don't let the bear out the box.
Mm-hmm.
He was so used to letting the bear out the box, mm-hmm. he doesn't know what to do
without letting the bear out the box. Yeah,
because his issue isn't that he can't hurt anybody; mm-hmm. it's that he could hurt people, mm-hmm. but he can't do it. And you know what?
In a safe way anymore.
He should become a carpenter, man. It's really satisfying. Mike Tyson, if you listen to Become a Carpenter, I promise you, just give it a month.
You talked about the job slowing down, and that's the worst part about all this for everyone, and people trying to find new ways of still having income and being smart. But, you know, we've been poverty-stricken our whole lives. So that I've always had a impoverished mindset. So even when I had a little bit of disposable income. Impoverished mindset.
Never mind.
I've always had an impoverished mindset. So I've been looking at different ways of getting new sources of income. And, you know, I was thinking about driving a royal chariot around, you know.
A royal chariot?
Yeah, delivering some mule and goods to the kingdom, you know.
Oh, I
can't say the company's name.
It's too late to do that.
Why?
Because the company has taken over.
Oh, the Amazonians.
The Amazonians have taken over.
The Amazonians have taken over.
They are now. And
them niggas is ruthless.
They're... I can't say the name because I think it's coined. Is it coined? Is the name of it coined yet?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, the Amazonians are going by the name of Boobers, mm-hmm. and they're delivering roasted pheasant.
But what if I do mine on an actual horse, though?
That might, I don't
That's
know.
That's different.
Because then people are going to want to pet your horse, and that might slow you down.
But yeah, my wife, if I say anything about pet, people wanting to pet my horse, my wife would say, excuse me, what? They pet your what?
Well, it's when you're like, oh, yeah, so then the little girl came out, and then Barbara started petting my horse. She's like, who is Barbara?
No.
Barbara, no. Does Barbara have a
I
got
to find a way to be different, though, because I don't want to run into the Boobers and the Jifs and, you know, those type of companies. Maybe I should just actually, like, run the food to people, like, full-on sprint. Like, put the food in a backpack.
Some people going to have to put it in a backpack and just...
just full-on sprint.
The other day, I was looking at my bike, like, I wonder if I could do it.
Yo, I know these Olympic athletes thinking about that. They done postponed Olympics. You got to stay in shape. They done close the gyms.
Man, I remember a few years ago when... Or, I guess, many years ago when it was in... what was that? England? And all those people came to England and just never competed. They just ran away.
It was in the Middle East last time. Where was it? But it was a bunch of people just wouldn't compete. Iran wouldn't compete. Afghanistan. Like, it was a bunch of crap.
They were escaping their countries.
Wasn't it Brazil? It was Brazil. Because they had, what was the thing they had? They had another virus then. Was it swine flu?
You know, it's swine flu. So there was something that was going on. This is where we are in the world. Like, every week it's like, what? Was the name of that?
No. It was the one where it was mess up the babies. Remember, it was like
Zika.
Zika. That's what it was. Zika.
You know,
Zika was around.
All right, I'm gonna call this my high thought of the week.
Oh boy, here we go.
So I was thinking, you know, Corona, Ebola, Zika, H1N1, SARS. What's that one that in all the gyms down here?
MRSA.
I feel like every now and again, there's this thing that comes up that's going to kill us all, and everybody's freaking out. And I'm just thinking, maybe that's natural selection. Maybe what we're afraid of is literally just natural selection. Like, every now and again, God wave his hand. He's like, those who survive.
See, that's how I look at it. I look at it as him, like, humbling and saying, like, look, y'all think y'all run all this, but all this can be literally stopped.
You know, I thought, all right, so... You know, my heart goes out and, you know, peace and blessings and health on all of those who are affected personally by the virus going on. But I also think that whether it be health or finances, whatever may be coming that way, you know, bless us, y'all. But I think also a lot of us have been blessed because I've noticed with the virus, I've actually been able to spend a lot more time with my family. I've been able to go outside and just be outside in the sun.
That's called the silver linings. And that's been my challenge to everybody I've talked to in the midst of all of this, because my mindset is not the typical mindset. When I'm faced with problems, I don't like, the first thing I don't run to is like freaking out. I try to find like, all right, what is the message in this? And I've been looking and I was like, this is the most time I've had around my girlfriend, around my mom, around my sister, around you, like around my family in a long time, just to just sit and talk. And that's a blessing. And it could be about anything. It could be about religion, which I talked with my mom. It could be about sports or just the good old days. Like, and a lot of times we don't get that, especially in communities of color. We don't get that until funerals or like really sad, depressing times. So this is a time where you get to connect and reach back. And I think that's for a reason. It's because we get caught up in our lives in the day to day. And it's like telling everybody like, hey, like distance yourself. And like, but for me, it's like, I need to get back in contact with everybody that I've lost contact with and make sure everything cool with them.
And yourself.
You know? Exactly. And it allows, Netflix. It's like recharging. That's legit is what it's like. It's like 100%. A recharge.
I was watching Netflix and I literally felt like I came to the end of Netflix. So I just sat there.
Dang. Now that's a lot of Netflix. See, I felt like that with Hulu, but not with Disney Plus.
Hulu wasn't it for a while. Like Hulu was not.
But they added FX on there, and I got
Disney Plus got some good stuff coming out.
They do got, but
all those Marvel things. They have they have a new Captain America show coming.
A show. What is Bucky in it?
It's supposed to be Bucky and I think Falcon.
Yeah, because that's how the movie left off. Sam Wilson. Yeah, because he took over. Because the actual Captain America got old and we assumed he perished. But
for the record, the Falcon is the first black
superhero.
Avenger. Superhero, I think so as well. I'm pretty sure he's the first black superhero.
You know what show? I'm not even gonna talk about it, but RIP to Luke Cage. Man, that was my
Luke
show.
Luke Cage was good. Like Veronica Mars. It wasn't as great to me, but
Veronica Mars. Jessica Jones. What you're talking about?
Jessica Jones.
I did like Veronica Mars. Jessica Jones. First season Jessica Jones I rocked with. Sometimes. That is true. First season of Jessica Jones I rocked with. Second season I did not like. Even though it had more Luke Cage in it. Second season I still didn't like it as much. But he was beating the brakes off that.
Yeah, he was.
And that's why he was losing.
I respect that they put that scene in there, and this is why I'll say that. Because I've seen that scene one time before in history, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guy on top, banging girl, grabs headboard. They basically crush the headboard because mm-hmm. how aggressive they're going at it. And that was in Twilight.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. The thing about Twilight that looked the worst is like these little dainty men
mm-hmm.
doing stuff like breaking headboards.
And we talking about you, Robert Pattinson. There's
is
no
that
way.
His name?
Yeah, that
You're
was
not breaking a head. You've never
listen to his
headboard.
Name, Robert Pattinson.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure you're charming in your own way.
He sounds like
but you're not breaking headboards.
Like he work in a hair salon.
Like in a
I
hair?
Got an appointment with Robert Pattinson today. Tell me, he don't sound like
he
that.
Sounds yes.
He do hair and nails and eyebrows.
He's fire eyebrows.
He definitely do eyebrows.
No, for sure. That's clutch though. When you become an adult man, that's one of the things your barber starts asking you
that true.
You got to be able to answer, and you don't know how to answer. You want me to get your eyebrows?
Yeah. Go ahead. Hood it up.
I mean, whatever you think is best. Whatever.
Get up. Swipe it one time. Yeah.
No. My eyebrows.
Another movie suggestion during this time, because like everybody's afraid of losing their jobs, and rightfully so. If you have not seen the movie, sorry to bother you. That's
great
my freaking
movie.
And I already watched it, but I had to rewatch it, and I was like, yo, this movie is so funny just because like it puts so many things. It's weird as hell, but it puts so many things in perspective because the mentality you get locked up in on a day-to-day and a 9-to-5, and you start to miss out on the small things. Like he was missing out on his girls, art mm-hmm. shows, and just his friends. And also that movie never addressed the fact that his girl slept with his homeboy, and his homeboy just act like it didn't happen. The little Asian dude.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how it goes. And, you know, I was
she
thinking,
a thought for that, though.
Yeah, and no.
She did address. Well, no, actually, no, because she did say, I slept with somebody and while you were gone. And she asked him if he wanted to know. He did say no.
I mean, that is yeah, true. And no. But also, I'm like, shit happens. Shit happens. Because, like, that's real. Yeah. What is he supposed to do at that point?
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, he was neglecting his girl. And I'm not saying that you got to be okay with that.
Well, isn't that a cardinal rule? It is what it is. Was that one of our cardinal rules?
One of our cardinal rules.
Or is that just a nigga mentality?
Nigga mentality.
Oh, my bad.
It be like that sometimes.
That's what the cardinal rule was. It be like that sometimes. Also, this week, I've been, you know, keeping up with school, my school, because the schools in Florida in particular are not allowed to go on campus anymore. They locked down the campus for us. So now we have to do everything online. And it literally, like, tripled our workload. And I had to watch a TED Talk today for one of my lectures. And it made me, like, think. Actually, not while I was, because I wasn't even paying attention to the TED Talk. But if you had to do a TED Talk, what would you do your TED Talk on? Do you know what TED Talks are?
Yeah, I love TED Talks.
Perfect. For those that don't, it's like...
I should have said no, because then it would have...
Yeah, it would have better effect.
I'm going to shut up, because I guess you're now your...
No, actually, you introduce what TED Talks are.
TED Talks are these interesting forums
mm-hmm.
in which one speaker... shows their, not necessarily their expertise, but something they learned on their way to their expertise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They talk about past. I watched one with Steve Stout before, and he talked about how hip-hop has literally gone from a genre to a culture, which was very true. I watched one about filter bubbles, which was, this was like 2012, and it was talking about, it was actually quite scary. There was this lady and this guy talking about how pretty soon that you would be talking about food and your phone would actively be listening, and then you would get ads on your social media accounts. This is in 2012. It wasn't even happening mm-hmm. yet, and it started happening already. We could talk about Olive Garden right now on this podcast, and by the time we go home, your phone sends a ping to these towers, and those towers send ads to your phone to say, oh, cool, he talked about Olive Garden today. I'm going to send him an ad for Olive Garden. Speaking of Olive Garden, Olive Garden is doing buy one, get one on to-go orders. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Going to get that tonight. I hope my wife orders that sometime, really soon. But
I'm being dead serious. That's not a made up fact. I already took advantage of it.
I hope my wife orders that really soon.
I already took advantage of it.
But I don't. You distracting me with food.
I'm sorry.
I'm hungry.
I'm sorry. But that was a good deal. The TED Talk. What would you do your TED Talk on?
My TED Talk. I did. I thought about this. You asked this question. I thought it was such a great question. I wish I had more time, but I'm glad I did it. I would do a TED Talk that would be about how I've learned to be patient when everything is going wrong. Even if all the information in your mind points to one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to liken it to, because normally the big thing about TED Talks is they take this large concept and they compare it to a smaller concept you can understand.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would do is I would talk about how everything in my life, right? it's like a Blair Witch. It's like a Salem witch hunt. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I got all the information that I want to condemn this person as a, or this situation as a witch. Like, mm-hmm. it's so much more powerful than me. I got to murder it. But if I really just sat down and just relaxed a little bit, waited it out, I would find out that it's not a witch and it's not bigger than me. Mm-hmm. So that would be my type of talk about, is okay. about patience.
I like that. I think I would do one on how to be in the way but out of the way at the same time. I feel like my whole life was about being in the way, so being aware of my surroundings. I grew up in a very rough neighborhood, so I knew how to be aware of my surroundings by being in the way, but also I learned through trial and error how to be out of the way, and that's through jumpings and butt whippings and like
jumpings.
Yeah, like
those would do it.
Yeah, several of those took care of that.
Did I ever tell you I got a jump for walking through a fucking circle?
No, tell, please. Well, I've heard a story, but please tell the king. They never heard this story.
So I was on the block. Not really. I was walking home from school.
Weren't you like 12?
And I was living, I was like 12, living in, where was I?
Chester. You were in Chester.
I was in Chester. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking down the street, and don't get me wrong, I'm on a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. There are about five people standing in a very large circle mm-hmm. on the sidewalk. And I didn't know what to do because I was a kid mm-hmm. in a city without a dad. Mm-hmm. I don't know where Will was that day, but he would be very upset. He's going to be upset.
Oh, Will Smith. Will Smith.
Yes, he's going to be very upset.
Because that's your dad.
My real father.
Yeah.
And I went through a circle. I probably had about, I don't know.
He was in Bel Air.
At least coronavirus distance between each person. So about at least 6 feet between each person. And I got through the middle of the circle with no problem. And right maybe two steps outside of that circle, I hear, did this nigga just walk through my fucking circle? And then I heard footsteps, so I started running.
Natural nigga reaction.
Natural. I mean, I was a 12-year-old.
Yep, you got to. Don't even look back. Just take off.
But then I figured out that I wasn't going to make it. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to take my last stand. It's going to be real cool. So I took my book bag and I just kind of like tossed it off. Mm-hmm. And I heard the dude trip. So I turned around and I was like, yeah. And there was a dude two steps away from me, so I tried to punch him, but then they just all jumped me, and then I just went home and told my mom.
And for somebody who's also been jumped, what do you do? What's jump protocol once you fall to the ground? What do you have to do?
You tuck into a nice ball and save your face.
Yep, that's it.
You just
face, temples, you take that rib shot, you take all everything else.
And you sell it, too.
You see, yeah.
Yep. Just like a beating when you're at home. Mm-hmm.
Yep, you got to.
Yeah.
Just protect the face and the temple.
Here's something that pissed me off. I'm going to tell you something. I told my wife one time about a time where I got jumped. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I was like, I was knocked unconscious. And when I, don't you, so she laughed. And here's why I'm offended. So she starts laughing because I said, when I woke up, I had a bruise on the inside of my lip. Like, the entire inside of my mouth was purple.
Yeah.
So my wife just breaks out laughing in the middle of this traumatizing story. And it hits me that my wife is implying that some dude fucked my mouth while I was asleep, right? So what ended up happening is I got kicked in the face, and I know because I had the Timberland logo.
On your tongue.
On my tongue. But
Tim on the tongue.
I look at my wife and I go, so you think it's... You would think that this is a good time to laugh. If I did get, you know,
that's
just,
either way, that's, I either got my butt beat or I got raped. Or I got either raped. One is not funny. Yeah, have my back. So
I just wanted,
but that's further proves our other point. Women always laugh. Man rape is funny.
Man rape is funny.
Women always laugh. That's a double standard. Women always laugh at man rape, and it's not okay.
It's not okay.
It's a frightful thing. Speaking of frightful things.
Wait. I just want to say one thing real quick. Have you seen that movie, The Platform, on Netflix?
The Platform? No, I have not.
It is such a good movie. I don't want to give anything away, but it has, you would love it because you like deep stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's about how no matter where you go in life, there's always someone above you and there's always someone below you. Mm-hmm. However, the people above you and the people below you aren't necessarily the people that you think should be above and below you. So they, you might in your mind be like, I'm better than this person. But that doesn't matter. There are some people above you and below you, and whether you think you're better or you think you're worse you're always above somebody and you're always below somebody. It's a real deep concept. You should watch it.
I like that. I like that. I'm going to check with the platform.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Here's a really good question from the platform.
All right.
Netflix, if y'all don't give us a
something, a little kickback, a free account.
If you were, going to be trapped in a room for 30 days, what would be the one thing you would take with you? What's the one item?
If you something to read. So it would either be the Bible, something to read, though.
That's interesting. Watch the movie. That's really interesting. That's really, really, really interesting answer. Watch the movie. We'll get back to it. And I want to.
That's my homework.
That's your homework. Speaking of homework, I did last week's homework that was left by in the corner.
He who shall remain nameless.
He who shall remain nameless.
Because that's neither here nor there, and we're here, and he's there.
He's there.
Yep.
Whether it's a county quarantine
or something else, or he could be back in Texas.
He could be back. He could not be back. I hope he comes back. But when he's back, that's neither here nor there, because we're here and he's there. The answer to last week's homework, Snoopy asked, "What was the Middle East?" The Middle East.
It took a whole week to figure this out.
Is from Egypt east through the Persian Gulf.
Okay.
Plus Israel, Iran, sometimes Turkey.
Sometimes Turkey. They act like turkey is like a garnish. Sometimes you throw a little turkey in there.
You never just throw a little turkey in your sandwich?
I have.
Yeah. And you never had like that. There's nothing better than when like you're about to open, like let's say your ham and you got one piece of turkey left. So one of your sandwiches has that one slice of turkey.
Yeah.
And then you eat both sandwiches and you forget that it even had turkey on it. You're like, oh man, this I thought that was going to be so good.
Yep. Agreed. All right. Well, this week's topic is what? What are we getting into?
This week's topic is about fear.
Oh, that's perfect, because a lot of people are fearful right now, considering the circumstances. Fear of
exactly. Resident Evil just dropped the demo for the remake of Resident Evil 3, and I do believe that Nemesis is chasing
you. Oh, it's out?
You.
The demo's out?
The demo's out, and Nemesis is chasing
you. Oh, I'm playing that.
I'm not.
I'm down. But this week's episode is about fear, so on the other half of this break, you will hear us break down fear, all aspects of fear. And hopefully, we'll be able to find Snoopy somewhat. Maybe on the other half of this break. Maybe next week.
Maybe.
That's neither here nor there, because we're here and he is there. But we'll see you on the other half of this break.
Yo. This quarantine got me acting different, bro. I started my own sport. It's called Who Can Be the Most Accurate While Looking at the Revolutions of the Blades on the Fan. See how many spins per minute you get. Nah, I'm just playing. I ain't that crazy yet. But this quarantine killing me. And I also learned how to juggle. Crazy. Been watching the news. It's been a lot, dog. It's a lot of stuff going on. Like, I don't even know. I don't know where Corona is, why it is. Where it came from, they say it started here, but it might be there. I just don't know. I don't know where the germ's at. I don't know where the virus hiding. I don't know who got this shit. The only thing I know is I can look in the mirror and be like, listen, you ain't got it. That's all that's important. So stay your black ass in the house. Yo, man. It's getting wild out here, though. I seen birds flying. I done seen dogs walking. I ain't seen the leaves change color. But where that corona at, though? Like, I can't see it. I don't know what the hell. But you know what? I'm sitting my black ass in the house. So I don't know who got what. I don't know who doing what. I don't know who touching what. But I ain't going outside.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the Nights at the Brown Table podcast. We hope you enjoyed that mid-portion of our podcast. I know I did. And speaking of the mid portion of the podcast, I really, really hope Snoopy gets out soon. Because he sounded like he was in trouble just now.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
man.
We got to figure that out. Ah, well. Going. He, you know what he sounded? scared. Afraid.
Someone should do something
about that.
Yeah. Well, we have to take care of the kingdom.
Yep. Somebody has to.
He should have never left the kingdom.
Yep. That's what I think it happened when he left for Texas.
Oh, I get it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't he eating some sake fried chicken?
Now that's low key, that sounds fire.
That, I don't know. Fermented rice chicken.
Is that what sake is?
Yeah.
Oh no, nah, never mind. I'm out. Speaking of this week's topic, fear. Let's get into this week's topic, afraid.
Here we
go. I'm afraid of food poisoning again.
Let me get my voice ready for this one. You awake to the clap of thunder. You are covered in dirt, laying in a mattress stained with blood. The fresh smell of gin and gunpowder float in the air. An eerie piano plays as Poe recites The Raven over loudspeakers. You reach for the door, the only door in this dark room. A rush of cold wind prompts you to turn around. Your eyes meet an old family portrait of a decrepit old lady. Reaching out, it almost looks as if she's... Cold fingers brush the back of your neck.
Ah!
Fear. Yeah, so this... So I wrote that, and then I read it back to myself. You know, when
you got scared for
real.
Yeah,
I was like,
yeah, don't do that.
I really, the fucked up part is I'm like, and so what happened? What touched his neck?
Yeah, what happened? That's like it, a Stephen King novel. Now? Yeah,
is it dead? Right?
Yeah. Nah. next.
I need to watch Disney.
Our topic is fear. Speaking of fear, clearly, with like everything that's going on in the news, we in the kingdom thought fear would be a great topic to cover. What do you believe fear to be?
My sister once told me fear stands for one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that she was the one who said it first, but whatever. It's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
She told me that fear stands for forget everything and run.
I like that.
Or face everything and rise.
Oh.
And I thought she didn't. Oh, but it was real good knowledge. And she was right. Fear stands for either run.
Fight or flight.
Or fight.
The fight or flight.
And both are great.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't mix up the two. You know what I mean? You want to make sure. Like, for example, one time during our sex podcast, which was episode one, I talked about where a young lady in my teenage years pulled out both of her top halves.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to face everything and rise.
Oh, quite literally.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
But instead, I forgot everything.
And ran. Yeah.
Because I didn't know what to do. What do you do with titties?
I still don't know the answer to that question.
Because it wasn't like she like, it was just titties. It was like, hey, titties.
Yeah.
She had on jeans.
It's also her fault. It depends on the way she presented them to you. Because if she just was like, you turn around and they just in your face. You gotta warn somebody when titties enter in the room. You can't just enter the room.
We cover chivalrous titties in episode
titties have two. To be chivalrous.
You have to they be have chivalrous to be. With your titties.
Yeah.
You expect us to pull a chair out for you before you sit down. You don't want to let us know before you pull a titty out?
Exactly. Harvey Weinstein's in jail right now for that.
That's true.
Pulling his balls out. His man titties.
You know, I heard a I'm not even going to get into that conversation, man. Harvey Weinstein. You know, I read. I don't know how true it is. Everything is always like.
Sensationalized.
Allegedly, he has coronavirus.
It's too coincidental to me, but
I feel like everyone just has coronavirus.
If he got it, that means somebody literally held that nigga down and injected it.
Don't make me change you, Weinstein.
Yeah, exactly. I think I define fear as obviously like apart from the being afraid of something. I do agree with the fight or flight method, like. To forget everything and run or forget everything and rise. But I have a quote from your father because he. Okay.
Big Willie.
Yeah.
Big Ellie.
Wait, no.
Is it from the Switch song?
No, it's not from Switch.
Everybody, you just.
It's not from Switch. Oh. But he did like somewhat of a TED Talk, but it wasn't even a TED Talk. But like.
He was just talking.
Yeah.
Every talk that my dad does is like a TED Talk.
Exactly. But he defined what fear was to him and how you're supposed to handle fear. He said basically that fear is not real. It's the only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. So you're afraid of what is about to happen to you. He said it's a product of our imagination and it causes us to fear things that do not at the present and may not ever exist.
Because you may not even exist.
So is that what do you think he's saying by all of that? I know that's a lot.
A lot of times I feel like we're afraid of things that haven't even happened yet. in most cases, they aren't even things that happen. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so pressured. I won't be able to pay my rent. And that's a great point.
Because if someone were to rob you and you would be afraid, are you afraid of losing money or are you afraid of losing your life? You're thinking about the future, like, hey, I'm scared, I'm about to die. Or even if it's you don't think you're going to die, I'm afraid he's going to take all my money and I'm going to be broken. I'm not going to be able to pay this, I'm pay that. Or if you're afraid of losing your job, it's because of all the factors, the consequences of losing that job. If you're afraid of missing the game winning shot, it's because of all the consequences. Oh, now we're not a winner. I'm losing. Everybody's going to say I suck. You know, there's a lot of things that fear can go into.
You know, did I ever tell you about the time I got robbed?
No.
Please, so I got robbed at gunpoint one time. Well, I got robbed at gunpoint one time. And they were like, give me your fucking wallet. And I'm like, absolutely.
I was not expecting that.
Well, they had a gun.
What were you expecting?
It was at gunpoint. So
I feel like at gunpoint, why are you telling me to give you everything? You just showed me the gun. I'm like, yo, my G, here you go. Like, well, you don't have to tell me.
He was clearly a professional, because if you put a gun in a person's face, the first reaction that the first time that happens to somebody is they're just going to stare at you with real big doe eyes and wait for it
and freeze.
Right. So as I'm handing him, I'm like, hey, okay, I'm going to go in my pocket slow. Mm-hmm. And he's like, shut the fuck up. So I'm going in my pocket, and as I'm handing it to him, I'm like, hey, man, I just need my ID. I really don't want to go to the DMV. Like, for real, man, you know how hard that shit is. He's like, man, fucking hurry up, man. Fucking hurry up. And you know he let me take my ID. I don't know who the fuck it was, but, like, I don't even know why. Here's the fucked up part. I was afraid of dying, but for whatever reason in my mind, I was more afraid of having to wait. Go to DMV.
That was your fear of them in that moment, you know?
He really let me keep it. He's real. I still have. No, I just got rid of the ID. Never mind. I'm going to keep it. I should have kept it. Damn.
How do you handle fear? In that moment, you talk like, how do you handle fear? How do you handle it?
Okay. So with fear, it's almost pretty much the same. Whether it's a gun, whether it's a ghost, whether it's virus, whether it's bills, I have the same process every time. My first reaction, I ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Happens all the time at home. My wife will hear some shit. She has some weird jingly little bells on our doorknob for when you came in the house for whatever reason. And one night it's like 12:02 a.m. and you know the witching hour is 12:02 a.m. And those bells jingle. She hits me, baby, you hear that?
Mm-mm.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
First step, always ignore it.
Yep.
Because it's got to duplicate for it to be a problem.
Exactly. I wholeheartedly agree with that. I don't see a problem yet.
So, or if you pull a gun, ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? That's the doe eye response. You're ignoring it at first. Yep. You're not handling it. Second, if you can, is eating. Just start eating.
Oh, yeah.
Like if someone's like, give me all your money, just start shoving food.
That's my
in
go-to
mouth.
For hurricanes.
Yeah, just eat. Eat everything. No one ever dies
scared,
while eating.
I'm eating. Yeah.
Well, unless they choke. Or if they got diabetes. But they don't even die when they're eating, they die after.
It's the after effect.
Yeah. So no one dies eating.
Yeah.
Plan three. Part three is make a plan.
Oh, the Scooby-Doo. That's the Scooby-Doo.
You know the Scooby-Doo.
That's the Scooby-Doo.
You make a plan.
Yep.
You try to unmask the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Next, you execute the plan.
Okay. That'll be the Fred.
The Fred. You be the Fred. You bring it all back together.
Mm-hmm.
Or you Scrappy-Doo and you fuck it up.
Mm.
And then my final option, whether you fix it or fuck it up, is really the same. Go to sleep.
Now that's my go-to.
Go to sleep.
Final option a lot of times is my number one. And my girl gets so mad at that. Because case in point, if I were be in the house, hear a strange noise. You heard that? I'm sleeping harder. Sleep. Harder now. I'm harder. Because if it's something, it's going to...
That's called REM. I've read it. REM.
Yeah, that's what it means. Like, really enjoying my sleep. That's what the M stands for.
Yeah, my sleep is one
my
word.
My sleep.
Is rushing.
REMs.
Rushing.
Yeah. REMs. That's what REM stands for.
Mm-hmm.
I slept through hurricanes, several of them. I remember the worst hurricane that happened that totally, like, destroyed Puerto Rico and all the tragic hurricane. And everybody's freaking out about the threat of a hurricane. It's like, oh, it's going to hover over Florida for 72 hours. And I was like, cool, I can sleep that long. Like, I literally sleep through fearful moments. But that doesn't always work.
I used to, remember when I used to pass out at heights? Like, when I went up on heights, like, just like a fainting goat?
Because I was just about to say, like, what was the scariest thing that ever happened to you?
The scariest? scariest thing that ever happened to me.
Or the worst fear of something that, like...
One of the worst things that ever happened to me, for sure, was when my first time going on a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
I was a young man.
Mm-hmm. You weren't that young.
I was young enough.
Okay.
From a city where there's always something under your feet.
Okay.
It don't move. And if it does, it's at a slow speed. And most of the times, you don't see it. You know what I mean? You can go up 60 flights.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of 4 minutes. You still feel like you're on the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. So when you took me to Dueling Dragons and you told me, hey, bro, I'm going to take you on this roller coaster where two roller coasters fly like 120 miles per hour at each other. And there's about 6 feet clearance between them. And when it's moving, it's kind of going to seem like we're about to hit each other. I didn't understand that before I even got to that part, I was going to pass out. And so it was real scary the first time I got on a roller coaster because I passed out and then I woke up at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember a lot of in between.
Yeah. So you survived the best part, though, because you didn't. But the scariest part where I got afraid was when we came back and the attendant was like, sir, stop playing, sir. And we laughed because we think you like joking and like, nah, you were lifeless. Like, when, for real, for
1000% was unconscious until I woke up. I remember the right starting.
Yeah. And then we came
and
back.
And then I couldn't feel my feet. Remember I tried to stand up and when I tried to fell over, that's when the attendant was like, oh shit.
I think my biggest fear is spiders. I hate spiders, bro.
Spider, eight-legged freaks.
I hate spiders, and it's because of eight-legged freaks growing up. And also, when I was a kid, I used to always be with my mom growing up, because my dad used to work overnight, and we went, this is like where my mom take us to church Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursday, all the time. And we did at certain parts where our church would travel to other churches. We were at this church in the deep, deep, deep woods. And I was waiting outside because, like, a well-behaved black kid is told, your mom says, stay right here. Don't move. Don't Mm-mm. talk to nobody Mm-mm. until I come back.
Mm-hmm.
I know where my mom went. Still don't know where she went to this day, but she told me to stay right there. I stood right there. People from the church, hey, baby, you okay? I ain't saying nothing to nobody. She said, don't talk to nobody until I come back. So I'm standing there waiting. And as I'm waiting, I just feel something like going down my shirt. And I'm like, what the heck? And I look and I just grabbed it and threw it on the ground.
Mm.
And what I threw was a brown recluse spider.
Mm-mm.
And those is dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, and I know that as a kid, I just know it was a spider. But by everybody else's reaction around me to the spider hitting the ground and them just scattering, I knew it was something serious. And then my mom started freaking out when she came back. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, it's a spider on you, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I'm supposed to be afraid of that. So then my fear just went to 10. And ever since that moment,
see, speaking spiders, of fear, bro, this is what makes me afraid of being a parent. I'm not afraid of being a parent for the reason most people are. Like, okay. Everybody's like, oh, I'm going to fail as a parent. Yeah, so mine's dead, yours will, I will. Mm-hmm. It's how you recover. It's not about that. But mm-hmm. the moral story is, my fear about being a parent is those weird instances that every parent has where they're just like, yeah, I left them for 5 minutes and then a brown recluse attacked them.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and that's
every parent has a story. My mom has a story about us, right? She's like, she had just bought this new bed. And you remember, you know those metal railings?
Mm-hmm.
So we were in there and we were doing backflips on the bed like we weren't supposed mm-hmm. to. But it was a brand new bed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were sitting on that metal rail holding up the box spring. And I think it was my oldest brother, hit a backflip, ran his face. He fell off. He did a backflip instead of landing on the bed. He backflips off the bed, and instead of his feet landing, his face smacks into the this metal rail.
Oh boy!
Giant gash on his forehead. Mm. My mom literally walked out like 2 or 3 minutes before that. You know what I mean? Now she's sitting at a hospital with people like, "Do you beat your children?"
Yeah, exactly. And how do you explain that? My mom, to that point, my mom, and she says I'd never let her forget this, but like, we were at a park with me, her, and my sister. My sister was like harassing her about going to the bathroom. She's not a single mom, but she was by herself in the park. Like, she's like, I can't take y'all both in here. Like, just wait right here. So my sister's aggravating her about going to the bathroom, runs her to the bathroom. And then I'm just waiting there sitting on the bench for her to come back. And 5 minutes goes by, still don't see my mom. 10 minutes goes by, still don't see my mom. 15 minutes go by, still don't see my mom. At the 20-minute mark, my mom comes sprinting back into the park. She had left me in the park.
Oh, no.
And that's one of those instances, like, and that's your worst fear as a parent.
Yeah. So,
but that lets you know how, like, ingrained she was, and probably annoyed at my sister that she took her to the restroom and straight from the restroom straight to the car, loaded her in the car seat. So two car seats, one is empty, gets in the car and just drives off. You know, and I'm just sitting there in the park, just shaking my feet in the dirt. Like,
you know, the worst part about being that kind of parent in that moment,
what?
You gotta go back.
Mm-hmm.
Get back and hope nobody stole your parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you double park.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get out of the car. You got to unbuckle the other kid. Mm-hmm. You can't leave the other kid in the car with the car running.
Yep.
So you got to run. Man.
There's a lot of fears going through your mind at that point. It's level to that fear. But luckily for her, I was still sitting there just playing in the dirt.
That's why when people are like, sometimes when people are like, oh, I forgot my kid was in the car, I'm like, I get it.
I can see that.
I don't have any.
Yeah, but I can see that.
But I get it.
There's been times with the dog. I get out the car with food and I'll be like, doo-doo-doo, at the door. And I'm like, oh, shit.
I'm finna go eat.
And the dog's looking in the window like, hey, what the fuck? Like, you for real just gonna
like, word.
Dunkin' Donuts is that important,
my nigga? We was just eating your girl fries together.
And you get Dunkin' Donuts and now you brand new on a nigga.
That's the great thing about having a dog.
They can't talk?
If you eat your girl fries, you can just like,
yeah.
I was driving home, you know how
he
she
put his head in the bag.
In the bag, he ate it.
Yep, I do that all the time. My girl the other day was like, every time you bring breakfast from Dunkin' Donuts, they always only give me five munchkins. And I'm like, yo, they fucking up at Dunkin' Donuts.
That's when you start doing messed up. Yeah, that's the Dunkin' Donuts.
But I had to admit it because she finally went with me to get breakfast the other day. And she was like, I don't even see the person that does, because I pay for the six and they always give me five. And I was like, before you do that, I just want to let you know. Every time I get home, I eat one of them donuts. Just so you know, like, they just be smelling good, and I just got to try. I just got to make sure, you know, it's good for you.
Remember when we had that, old black lady that used to work at the Dunkin' Donuts?
That would hook us up.
And just because we were cool with her, she'd be like, oh, baby, we're going to throw away these donuts anyway. You want the rest?
And give us, like, 50 of them.
50 donuts. That used to be great.
They was good. We used to eat them donuts for, like, a week. I'd be heating donuts up for the next week and a half.
See, that's the thing, man. You gotta know how to... This is why poverty helped me. Because I learned how to be nice to people sometimes, and they give you free food.
Mm-hmm.
Free food, if nothing else, that's free breakfast or 2 weeks.
What is the scariest moment you've ever been a part of?
In real life?
In real life.
All right, so this is going to get a little bit dark. Mm. So I hope you got something funny after this.
I don't, actually. Something pretty scary, though.
It'll come.
That's what she said.
So, fast. You forgot the word fast. So... My mom was, like I've discussed, my mom had her issues.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, and some black people already know how this go. Some parents don't give their kids keys to their house if they aren't home. My mom was one of those moms. So my sister was a teenager and I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the ages, but we were pretty young. And we lived in a townhouse in PA. We lived in a townhouse in South Philly. And we could get into the basement of our house, but we couldn't get into our actual house because we knew how to break into our basement. Everybody knew how to break into the house. So we broke into our basement, and it's wintertime. It's cold. And as the sun goes down, it's getting colder and colder. We were poor, so we didn't have good jackets. You know those jackets that look like good jackets, but they're really not.
They got no lining on the inside.
Nothing on the
inside. It's just straight zipper.
Yeah.
It's
just air. You know how like some of
it's puffy and then a zipper. Yeah. That's it.
You got to blow your... It's a blow-up jacket.
Yeah,
you blow
it's not North Face. It's just called Faceless. Face.
It's North, but it got a U in it.
It's just an actual face on it.
And then you just wear normal shoes. So walking in the snow in normal shoes, your feet are wet, your gloves are wet. We had the dollar gloves.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the situation. So we're sitting in this basement and stairs, and it is cold. I'm talking about below freezing cold. And so now we're trying to break into this house. And it's just me and my sister, and it's cold, and we're sleepy. Because now, you know, when it get cold, you start getting sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's dark, and I'm afraid of the dark because I'm a kid. Mm-hmm. And my sister's like, Terrence, just be calm. And we're just sitting on the stairs. We're cuddling each other, trying to stay warm. And she's like, look, we got to break this door.
Mm-hmm.
We have to break this door.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sitting there, and for like maybe like a good 20 minutes, we're pulling on the edge of the door. Because we're little, we're able to get our fingers under the basement door and just pull it. And so finally, we're pulling, and it breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. The whole door doesn't break.
Mm-hmm.
A corner of the door breaks, and it's just big enough for me to fit through.
Mm-hmm.
It's nighttime now.
Mm-hmm.
Pitch black. So the inside of the house is pitch black.
Mm-hmm.
And I am terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the most scared I've ever been in my life, just going through this hole. I was also, for whatever reason in my mind, if I went through this hole, my sister wasn't going to be there anymore when I got to the other side. And I was like, I can't leave her alone. I was also afraid that I would get there and not get in and I couldn't get out. Whatever. I was most scared. And my sister grabs me and she looks at me and she reassures me and she hugs me. And she's like, look, if you don't go through this hole, we're going to die in the basement. And I don't want to die in the basement. When we go inside, I'll make you French toast, but you gotta go through this hole. And it worked. I climbed through the hole, I unlocked the door, we went in, and then we got in a little bit of trouble for breaking the door. But yeah, that was our story. That was the scariest I've ever been in my whole life, just sitting in that basement and having to go through that little black hole.
For me, it was, I want to say, I know I was in high school, but I'll leave the names out of this to protect the innocent. Because I know...
Sharonda.
It was no females involved, even though that is a scary situation. It's, I feel like a lot of dudes get caught up in scary situations with females in the middle of it.
Bless y'all.
But for me, I remember it was in high school. I was coming back from a basketball game, and I was taking some of the players home, and like I always say, keep saying, lived in a very rough neighborhood, and my neighborhood was one of those neighborhoods. It's so rough that there were no streetlights. Like, people all the time, like, oh, you knew to come home whenever. Ain't one no streetlights.
Oh, I remember when I got that flat tire?
Yeah, just pitch black. Pitch black. So, driving home one day, and there's about three sets of streets that are really bad compared to the rest of the neighborhood, because there's some corners that had a glimmer of where the light would be, but, like, the drug dealers and the quote-unquote gangsters took advantage of the darker streets because you can get away with things.
Just like in Batman.
Yeah, you flat out can't see what's going on. So we happened to pass by one of these streets, and I never used to take this way. Like, I always went the more lit up routes, but somebody in the car specifically lived on one of these streets. So we're going down the street, and I drop the person off, say goodbye to him, and it's me and, like, one other person in the car. And this person in the car with me lives in a nicer neighborhood. And I offered to drop him off first, but he was like, no. And he wanted to ride with us, and he always used to have me drop them off first because he didn't want people to know he lived in a nicer neighborhood. He wanted to keep up the impression that he was in the hood
of being black,
but he lived in a really nice neighborhood. So even though it made no sense for me to drive all the way to my bad neighborhood and then drive all the way back to drop him off to come back to my neighborhood, I was doing it for him. But drop off the last person besides myself in my bad part of the neighborhood. And we pull up to the stop sign on the way out of the neighborhood. Pull up to the stop sign. Car pulls up next to us, rolls down the window, puts a shotgun out of the window into the driver's side directly at me. He immediately just starts crying. And I had never heard a man cry like that before. I'm used to, like, women crying, but...
Did he shit the seat?
It seemed, I ain't mad, like, at him. It was like an instantaneous, like, scream. And it startled me so much that my foot just slammed the gas. And we, like, sped off.
No, that's called nigga instinct.
Yeah, and we sped off. As we're speeding off, the car follows behind us.
Good luck.
I know my neighborhood because I'm from the neighborhood. So I, like, drift this corner into this trailer park that's not any better. But I know it's somewhere I can duck off. Yeah. So we go into this trailer park. I'm literally, like, running over, like, bricks, everything in my car. And this is an old 98 Ford Escort, so I'm, like, destroying. Yeah, it's taking all the beating.
That's the 90s movie car.
Exactly. So I pull into this driveway, back in, turn the lights off of the car, shut all the car off, and I'm, like, holding his mouth shut, like, yo, shut up, like, right now. Like, you cannot make a sound. I understand, like, you're afraid.
Yeah.
But this is life or death, and we're dead quiet, and we see the car drive by us. The second it does, I wait about maybe 5-10 seconds, start the car back up. Speed off the other way, leave out of the neighborhood, and drop him off, and so start to drop him off.
Turn your lights back on.
No, I didn't even turn my lights back on. I didn't turn my lights back on until we got on the main road.
Damn right, because
that's how scared I was.
I'm just get pulled over and be, yeah, like, look.
That's how scared I was. I did not turn my lights until we got back to the main road. But yeah, that was a scary. And until you had a gun in your face, you don't know fear. You're like, and you talked about being robbed. You like, yo, like.
That wasn't my first time, so I was ready.
Yeah, but. As a kid, I
but it's always scary.
Yeah, I've seen guns, we're around guns, seen people, like, shoot guns, but, like, having it pointed at you, like, yo, what in the world? But I thank him for letting out that yelp, because that let your boy, that Ford Escort did 0-60 that day, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, we was out of there.
Yeah, buddy.
Out of there.
I'm glad you made that turn, though, because 60 was it.
Yeah, it had, and that car had no power steering either. That was the hardest turn I ever had to do in my life.
Well, it's only an Escort. I mean, it could have been a Taurus. Tauruses are big.
That's true. All right. I was reading, as I was preparing for today's topic, I read a quote about fear. Let me bring it up here. And it wasn't from Will Smith this time. No. It says that, it said that fear helps you develop compassion.
That was in a TED Talk.
It was?
That was in a TED Talk.
Oh, so that's probably where this guy is from. So, and the person, well, whoever, Ted, shout out to you, Ted.
Ted.
If
you don't know the TED Talk speaker,
you just about Ted. Yeah. Dealing with fears helps you develop compassion. When you yourself have been afraid, you're more likely to have patience and feel compassion toward others experiencing similar situations. After all, we want a good life. Do you agree with that?
Yes and no. I want to talk about I think this goes, you know, DaBaby the rapper.
Mm-hmm.
DaBaby the rapper.
Mm-hmm. I just got when you did that.
I didn't mean to do it.
A white guy somewhere was like, ha, he yeah.
He has a song, I forget the name of it, with Chance, which talks about exactly this. Right. And he goes, Chance has this line where he says, when it's hot outside, you don't want a fan in your face. Unless it's a fan in your face. Niggas got PTSD these days.
It's called PTSD.
Ah, PTSD.
It's with G Herbo. Yeah.
And so it's funny because, you know, his album dropped quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And so just recently he got into a situation where he ends up laying his hands on a person who, mm-hmm. from his standpoint, it's real easy to tell a person like you're wrong when mm-hmm. you're not that person.
Mm-hmm.
So from what he said was someone was in his face he couldn't see. And mm-hmm. he just was like,
he reacted,
basically swiping to get like, get out of my face.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it was a full on slap.
Yeah.
But if any, he just got done telling y'all, when it's hot outside, niggas don't want fans in your face. But it's true, like when you have PTSD,
mm-hmm.
like people are like, oh, he looked and then he slapped her. I don't know if anybody has PTSD, mm-hmm. but sometimes like there's this almost fight or flight reaction. Mm-hmm. And it's like when your body says fight,
it's subconscious.
You fight and you almost, you can't turn it off. Mm-hmm. It's animalistic.
Yep.
So I think it depends. Do you get compassion out of it? Sometimes, but other times you get PTSD.
So I think what I'm interested with this quote, I think they're saying like that you can't truly understand or like you can't have compassion without having some fear first. So you don't understand why somebody may feel that way unless you've been in their shoes and been fearful of something, which is interesting because I can get that because if I'm a person that if I were to tell somebody a story about me being robbed and they would have been like, dang, that sucks. Until they actually have been in that situation, they may not truly know how much it actually does suck. Saying I may tell somebody, dang, it sucks that I just lost my job or I'm broke. They're like, dang, that does suck. If you've never been broke, you really don't know the fear of being broke. So, and a lot of people, a lot of times you hear celebrities and people that have been impoverished, they always talk about, why do you, like Kevin Hart is another perfect example. He's like, everybody's like, why do you work so hard? And he's like, I'm just afraid of being broke. Like, I have the fear of yeah. being broke motivates me because he was broke for so long that he works as if tomorrow, if he does not work, he's going to be broke again. Even though he is so far from that, his mind state still says that. And that's to your point with the PTSD and all that ties around. Mm-hmm. Because to that point, people may or may not notice, but DaBaby was involved in an incident in North Carolina years back
mm-hmm.
in which he killed somebody
in
Walmart in self-defense because they G-checked him in the Walmart and flashed a gun at him and was like, yo, I got beef with you. Follow me outside.
And I, if I'm not wrong, I know he had one of the children of his mother.
He had his baby mom and his child with him. And he was like, why go outside when I get you children?
I think people don't understand sometimes, especially like when you come from certain communities and mm-hmm. you're black. Being black already is a scary thing
mm-hmm.
because you have these talks with your family about why you can't do certain things, why you can't listen to your music, why you can't buy, especially when you're younger, why you can't buy or drive certain cars or how you should respond to a person of authority
mm-hmm.
or even your reaction. If you are in a store and someone offends you, you can't necessarily say what you want to say because they may call the police. So that in and of itself is already scary.
Yep.
And then you put on top of that the poverty side where people are fighting for resources still, which people act like is animalistic. But realistically, any civilization will fight for resources if they're not enough. So like you layer that down and you put like you're already black and you have to deal with being black and worrying about police and other things that happen in black communities.
Mm-hmm.
Then you pile on top of the fact that, you know, it's not unlike being a warrior in a kingdom. You have to have your sword on you because somebody might pull their sword on
you. So would you say that fear is healthy? Because I do believe it's healthy because you were talking about police. I didn't realize how afraid I was of the idea of police officers until like things happened where you should be calling the cops. And that wasn't even a thought mm-hmm. process in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like I literally heard a woman getting the crap beat out of her by her boyfriend. And I was like, hey, my defense was either for me to break it up myself first before I call the police,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
just because the thought of calling the police was not even something that crossed my mind, because that's how afraid of I am of the police. I've been pulled over by cops, and I'm telling myself, yeah, it's cool. And in a second, they come up to me. I'm sitting there shaking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro, why are you quivering? Why are you shaking right
now? My wife had never seen me around a police officer before, and we got pulled over for something simple.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, why were you shaking?
Mm-hmm. The fear. That's fear. That's called black man
fear.
But
also, like, I've had police officers pull a gun on me. I've been mm-hmm. knocked out with police officers' flashlights. And I'm not saying this, like, I'm not some, you know, no disrespect to whoever is, but, you know, it wasn't like I was drug dealing mm-hmm. or, you know, it wasn't like mm-hmm. I wasn't a thug or a gangster. It's mm-hmm. just I was a nigga in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been hit. I've had guns pulled out on mm-hmm. me. I've been handcuffed for no reason. Mm-hmm. I've been handcuffed for some reason. Mm-hmm. And it's really, in our neighborhoods, when the cops come, it's never a good thing. Mm-hmm. My wife was talking about this. She said there's when I was talking to her about fear, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had read to her the little excerpt I did at the beginning about mm-hmm. the guy in the room. And she goes, well, she's like, yeah, well, you have this movie fear. She's like, but what about real fear? What about fear like a little girl or a little boy seeing her dad being taken away in mm-hmm. handcuffs?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, because a lot of times, you know, I struggle with this concept because you brought it when you said the guy and his girlfriend mm-hmm. were fighting. I struggle with this concept because I don't believe a man should hit a woman, mm-hmm. right? That being said, I don't necessarily know if I think separation is always good, but I don't know if putting a person in jail and taking them away from their family because you deem it morally right or wrong. Because realistically, where we exist as humans, morality is regional.
And that's the situation I got put in because I did intervene. And the next day, the girl was like, what the hell are you doing?
Yep.
Like, that's me and his business. Like, mm-hmm. that's between us. That's the father of my child. You got him arrested. Now I'm mad at you for stepping in. Like, you should have just let it fly. And I was like, I literally watched him punch you and push you down a flight of stairs. Like.
Well, to her credit, right? I mean, to the same situation credit, I had some neighbors that were fighting, and I'm out of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, the dude who's 6 foot six, mm-hmm. no, probably like 6 foot four, easily 245 pounds. His wife was a little old thing. And so when you heard all the ruckus going on, you thought it was him.
Oh.
So he pulls me aside. He's like, hey, yo, man, I just want to talk to you about what happened yesterday. I was like, look, dude, that's none of my business.
If you want to beat your wife, that's it.
It's not, that's not my point. It's just none of mm-hmm. my business because I don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but no, I don't want you to think I beat my wife. He's like, I'm not that kind of dude. And I'm like, dude, it's genuinely none of my effing business.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no. He's like, I was shaving in the bathroom
mm-hmm.
and she came up and put the razor to my throat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the scuffling you heard was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, still none of my business, but none of to mm-hmm. that same credit. It's just like, you're right. You never know what's going on in the situation.
Not to make light of that, but I recall, remember that time we were living at Altamont and we heard fighting and we were like, damn, this dude is beating the crap out of this girl. Should we do something? Like, I fear for her life.
Yes.
And the second we went to the door to like knock on the door burst open and the guy's running out of the house.
And she is.
And she was the one beating his ass.
She was from Philly.
And she literally. That was and Philly ass. Remember, we saw him because she didn't even live there. We saw him the next day. He was like, no, dog. Like, she beats me.
She beats me. Yeah. He put a restraining
order. It's not funny, but we were laughing at him. We're like, yo, he was like, you no, good? She beats me. Like, continuously. But and this was like a 5'4" Latino woman. And this is yeah, like. Well, I had no sympathy for him because he was a struggle rapper and he used to keep us up late at night, always making whack beats.
How's his career going?
Terrible. Failed. But yeah, that to that point. Moving on, you talked about scary movies. So scary movies, roller coasters, gambling, sports. Why do we subject ourselves to fear and pressure? Is there a benefit to it?
So I think that you can go, yes, there is a benefit, but also that same benefit can be like it's just as beneficial as it is detrimental, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how we talked about, you can gain knowledge, insight, compassion, but most importantly, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, you can have all kinds of darkness and PTSD when you go up to a fear. So I do think facing your fear, if you face it, you commit to facing it and conquering it, you got to have that Mamba mentality about it. Like, I will not let this defeat me.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get that understanding out of it. And that's powerful. It makes you more successful. It turns you into an apex predator.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between, like, you know, a lion is like, a lion's like, motherfucker, I'm going to eat you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to conquer this challenge. Like,
I had coaches that used to always tell me, hey, like, pressure bursts pipes and pressure makes diamonds. So, like, the two things. So, and as a kid, like, I was trying to grasp that concept. Like, what do they mean? And it was like, either through this, because for me, like, I remember the being very afraid. I remember trying out for an AAU basketball team, and I really, really wanted to make this team. And I did make the team, but I remember the initial fear of me walking into the gym that first day and seeing 175 kids in there. And I'm like, I went from being the best on my 12-man team to now walking into a gym of 175 kids who think they are the best and literally shaking from how afraid I was to, like, pick up the basketball, to run up and down the court. And then one of the coaches pulled me aside and was like, hey, you were brought here for a reason, and pressure's either going to burst pipes or the pressure's going to make a diamond. Which one is it going to be? You got to choose. And as I sat and, like, dwelled on that, he was basically telling me, like, look, either you're going to run out of here scared with your tail tucked between your legs, or you're going to sit here, embrace this pressure and this fear, dwell in it, and just keep moving forward and let it fuel you. And I think that's legit what it did. And I went from being afraid of being in the gym or being afraid to go having to tell my dad, hey, I didn't make the team, or having to go back to school and say, hey, I didn't make the AAU team. Like, my fears shifted themselves. So I was able to take the giant fear I had and shift it towards something else, and I used that to fuel. So I was afraid
of. How do you do that?
What'd you say?
I think that's a wonderful concept. How do you do
that? So I think it's a mind state thing to what Will Smith was saying. It's like, hey, like, fear is normal. Everybody embraces it. All the people say, I'm not afraid. I don't fear nothing but God, homie.
Too hard for fear.
I only fear God, homie. That's a great concept.
Oh, shit, a spider.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great concept to think.
Gates
but
isn't scared of spiders, bro.
I heard this football player one time say, like, oh, I don't fear nothing but God, homie. I only fear God. If you were to tear your ACL and doctor tell you that your career is done, you're not afraid?
You're not going to be afraid of your whole family not knowing how they're going to get their next meal?
Fear is fear. It happens to everybody. You're going to be afraid at some point. It's a matter of what you do with that fear. So Kevin Hart talked about being afraid of being broke again. So he works like it's every day is his last. In my situation, I was afraid of having to be in. The fear truly was being afraid of disappointing my parents and letting them know, like, hey, I wasn't good enough to make this team. You spent your hard-earned money to get me over here, to drive me out to this location, spent all this time, and you wasted your time and your money and your efforts on me for me not to be good enough. So that was a fear that was fueling me the whole entire time. So every time I felt nervous and they were introducing a new drill, I would think back, okay, do you want your dad to sit here and you got to own up to him and say, hey, I didn't make the team? Like, no, you don't want that. Cool. So keep grinding. Keep pushing forward. Don't let that fear overwhelm you. Use it towards something else. And I think to wrap up this podcast, we can use that as people today. So everybody's afraid of the coronavirus, and rightfully so.
Yep.
You're afraid of the coronavirus. You're afraid of tomorrow. You're afraid of today. You're afraid of losing your job. So unfortunately, some people have lost their job. You're afraid of how you're going to pay bills. My best advice is live in the moment. Live in the day. Embrace that fear today. Yes, it sucks that you do not have money right now. You do not have a job. You do not know if you can walk out of your house. Embrace that fear and use that fear to fuel you towards something else. For me, it was like, okay, I'm not as afraid as everybody else of the actual virus. I'm afraid of the consequences of everybody else's fear that may impact me. So the world being afraid of this virus spreading more is causing me to miss out on money. It's causing me to miss out on opportunities. So for me, it challenged me to think, okay, if that's happening, what am I going to do? You got all this extra time on your hand. You got to figure out another source of income for yourself.
Honestly, I feel like this is such a wonderful time, in especially for young people, for black mm-hmm. people, for ethnic people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of basically everything that is business mm-hmm. or whatever the economic structure is set up to be right now is in such a state that whoever stops saying, you know, I'm so afraid of dying today, mm-hmm. I'm so afraid of dying today, and start saying I'm afraid of dying today without serving my purpose,
mm-hmm.
is missing out, because they can change the entire state of America mm-hmm. is in a place where it can be changed by a few people deciding to work on tomorrow
mm-hmm.
instead of worry about dying tomorrow.
Message. That's a message right there. No. See, we ain't got nobody in the corner. Somebody got to drop these parables.
Someone's got to drop
them. Somebody got to drop the parables. So to wrap this podcast up, as we do every single week, we leave you guys with the cardinal rule.
Man.
Let's unroll that scroll.
I am going to be so excited when we have. Wait, are we always going to do? So when
Ev,
we're
you
like
gotta 12, always go through.
When
the
we're
cardinals.
At like 303, yep. we can't keep doing.
Nah,
this.
Nah, we're not gonna do that.
It's gonna do a long take.
I mean, I feel like though we should hire a court jester, aka an intern, and they got to literally go through all of the cardinal rules if they want to stay along.
Every time we drop.
Every time.
What's cardinal rule number 7, sir? Cardinal rule number 7 is. It's not sir. It's king.
Yep.
All right, so let's go ahead and start off listing number 1 cardinal
rule.
First week is we don't love these hoes. Mm-hmm. If that message don't make sense, go back to week 1. Week 2 is it be like that sometimes.
It really do.
It really
It still
do.
Is. This that my, that's hit. My favorite so far. Honestly. I use that every day, especially like in the current circumstances. Job calling, yo, we decided to lay you off your position no longer. You ain't got anything you want to say for us? You know, we're here to be a resource for you. It'd be like that sometimes.
You know, honestly, that personality goes a long way. Blaming people for things that they have no control over. Like when people come to you like, hey, we got to let you go. Mm-hmm. It's not that person deciding to let you go.
Mm-hmm.
They're just doing what they got to do. So if you just come
maybe
at
it's for their own selfish reasons, but
it'd be like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you having that attitude will get you a lot further.
Mm-hmm.
Next carnival, week number 3. F that noise.
Mm-hmm.
This actually applies to this week. Man, all of these cardinal rules are gonna apply,
because mm-hmm.
cardinal rule number 1, we don't love these hoes, is a real good rule for coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal rule number 2, it be like that sometimes, is a real good for coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Cardinal rule number 3, F that noise, is a real good
for me. It's literally not, because everybody home and I'd be like, yo, shut up. Oh yo, I'm trying to sleep. Like,
yes.
Please. Poppy, I get it. Like, you love this song, but stop playing the same song, Poppy. Please change the song.
Gosh, I'm just sitting here. I'm tired.
Every night I'm listening to
news.
Bachata. Every
I'm
night.
I'm tired of listening to every radio station, every politician. Oh, we're going to give out $1,000 even though we're in an $11 billion deficit to China. We're going to give every American $1,000. Come on, y'all. Y'all know they ain't going to do that.
Nah.
Y'all know damn well.
I seen Rush Hour. I know how it turns out with the Chinese.
Like Big Crit said, if they start trying to give out stuff knocking on your door,
I ain't
lock
that.
Your door.
Yeah, I ain't taking that.
Rule week number 4, don't let the bear out of the box. That was such a good episode. If you didn't listen, go back to week number 4 and
mm-hmm.
remember, don't ever let that bear out the box.
Mm-hmm.
And finally,
This week is,
if you don't know, you don't know.
If you don't know, you don't know. What does that mean?
In context of this podcast today, if you don't know, you don't know. Everybody's so afraid of what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I want to go out to the grocery store and buy some food, but I'm afraid I might get sick. Or,
Oh,
I want to do this, but the government says that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, no one knows.
Nobody knows. Thank you. That's my point.
So if you don't know,
mm-hmm.
you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Go live your life.
Because
then you'll know.
But be safe, though.
You know, definitely take the smaller, take the easy precautions. Wash your hands. Cover your mouth.
I didn't
stay home.
Side note: I did not realize how many people that's telling me, yo, make sure you wash your hands. Y'all won't wash your hands already.
Mm-mm.
Y'all won't wash your hands. I take you already know you live with me. I take a lot of showers.
You do take a lot.
You
of
used
showers.
To pick at you me for how many showers.
Fuck that pick at you. We ain't have hot water.
We didn't have hot water because our dishwasher
was
broke.
That's
why we didn't have hot water. But this week's cardinal rule: if you don't know, you don't know. I like that. But as we do every week, we appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for listening. As always, make sure to follow the show on the show's social nights at thebrowntable@gmail.com is the easiest way to reach us. We love to have listener mail bring you guys into the kingdom. We've gotten some song submissions already that are going to potentially be on episodes. We're going to potentially introduce a new segment.
My barber said he'll give us all free shape ups if we play a song.
All right. I'm down for that. Yeah, I might. Now's the time because we all about to come out of this looking rough.
Man, my wife had to do a video call the other day with her coworkers.
Oh, I bet they was looking.
Oh, booger, woof, booger, woof. Shout out to Mike Epps.
Them girls ain't been to them eyebrow ladies in months. Ooh, a lot of unibrows looking like Anthony Davis out there.
Them girls look worse than Mike Epps in a B-roll movie.
But as always, appreciate you guys for listening to this podcast. And we'll catch you guys next week. And hopefully we'll have somebody back in the corner, eventually.
Maybe.
Maybe. But until then, be safe. Thank you guys for listening. We out.